Some months ago, something happened to me. Now, we ministers are human. Most ministers don't like for you to tell them that, say that, but we are. We're human. We have to sleep and eat. I've got a wife, and somebody come up and asked me the other day, said, "Brother Wallen, are you married?" And I looked at him, I said, "Yes, happily married." You know, a lot of people are married. But I want to know I was happily married. I told him the other day in the meeting down there, I said, "My wife and I are still sweethearts." I said, "Well, that's kid stuff." "Well, we're still married happily anyhow, if it is kid stuff." I was up in Canada not long ago, and we were standing out the back of this man's home. I was there visiting, and a bunch of grown men, there wasn't any women around, a bunch of grown men was in his swimming pool, and they was all swimming. They was on the diving board, diving off, and they was having a big time, you know, running and playing tag. Elder from one of the churches up there put his hand up on my shoulder, and he said, "You know, we're all just grown men, but we're kids on the inside, aren't we?" I said, "Everybody still acts like a kid every chance they get." Come on. Down inside. And it's not wrong that, because Jesus said, "Lest you be converted and become as a little child." And so, I had a problem. I had a problem I just couldn't get over. I didn't know what to do. And I'd always preached, you know, that God can solve all your problems. Always preached that. Still preach that. But I've got a little more light on it now. And this problem was bigger than I was. And I went to everybody to try to get them to help me solve this problem, and nobody could help me solve the problem. And finally, I said, "God, I'm not going to anybody else. I know you have the answer to it." And the Lord said, "You can't solve this problem." He said, "You can't solve this problem." He said, "Nobody can tell you how to solve this problem. You can't solve this problem." He said, "The problem is too big for you to solve. But I'm going to give you power to overcome it. And while you're overcoming it, I'll solve the problem." And sometimes we hang around trying to solve a problem when God wants us to overcome the problem. Just go on with Him and let Him solve the problem back here behind us. So I had this problem. I thought God had forsaken me. I said, "Lord, after all I've done, after all the things I've been through, and now then I just can't find... I don't understand. Maybe you've never been where I've been, but I'm going to talk to you right into your heart tonight, if I can." And the Lord gave me a verse of Scripture that changed my life. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that it'll change yours tonight if you're thinking in the realm that I was thinking at that time. And it's found in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and the 10th verse. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Months of searching for an answer. Thinking God had forgotten about me. "Lord, I preach, and Lord, I do this, and look at me now. What's wrong, oh God?" And then one day the Holy Ghost brought my attention and said, "Look at that verse of Scripture. I'm not an unrighteous God. If I forgot all of the times that you fasted and you prayed and you stood up and fought against evil powers and the hours that you've driven and the miles that you've been and the suffering that you went through with and the persecution that they've come against you and your life has been threatened. If I forgot you, I'd be an unrighteous God." After I've stood and threats and letters come to my office and say, "If you come to this city, we're going to kill you." I got a letter going into this city one time and got a letter in the office that said, "If you come to this city, we don't want you in this city. And if you come to this city, we are going to kill you." I probably could have had the letter traced. I don't know. But I didn't have any better sense than to go. And I got up there and I'm in this great big old hall. And it sits right on the bank of the of the big lake there. Lake Huron, I think it is. And sitting right on the edge of it, built right on the back of it. No backyard, it just built right on the bank of the river, and that's it, that lake. Here comes about 50 long-haired, dirty, ugly-looking hippies in. Some 6'6", look like great big muscle men and everything one night after me. I can't get out the back door because I can't swim that good, and ain't no boat waiting on me. I'm in a jam. Here they all got me hemmed up in there. And I've got to depend on God. I've got to depend on God. I'm declaring His name. I'm saying that all power is in His name. There's no other way a man can be saved except through the name of Jesus Christ. I'm preaching His Word. I'm doing everything. And now then the devil's staring me face to face and they're coming after me. I didn't know what to do, so I just stopped my message when they started to coming down the aisle, and I said, "You haven't got enough guts." And I used their language. "How do you talk about you big bullies and you're living like gutter rats and everything and you're all of this?" And I went on telling them how sorry they was, and I said, "But you haven't got enough guts. As big as you are and as mean as you think you are, you haven't got enough guts to come down here and accept that Jesus is your Lord." The old big one broke through and he headed down toward me. I said, "I'm talking to you. If you're a bigger man as you are," I said, "any coward can serve the devil. Anybody can be a whoremonger. Anybody can be a prostitute. Anybody can be a homosexual. Anybody can be a gambler. Anybody can serve the devil. But I said, it takes a man to serve God." They started to follow him on down. They got down there, and I looked at them, and I preached to them a few minutes and rebuked them there, and a few of them got to crying, and I broke that thing up, and some of them got saved, you know. Well, they left. That night, they didn't get me, but the next night or so, they was after me again. Here they come in this time reorganized, but some of them had done broke up the thing, and they come in reorganized, and I didn't know what they was going to do. And I'm preaching from Revelations, and I'm saying, "The pale horse is riding and death follows." I'm preaching, and while I'm riding at the peak of my message there, the sirens go off. Right around, they pull up to the building where I'm at. And the sirens are just going loud, louder than I can preach. And some of the ushers jumped up to go out to see what had happened. And two of those men had come out, got in a boat, went around the building, got down to the back and was trying to get out of the boat to crawl into one of those windows down there. And somehow or another, the boat tilted with them and both of them drowned. And here they come in after me and said, "You killed them, you killed them, you killed them, you killed them." Said, "You was preaching the pale horse is riding and death is following," and said, "You the one that killed them." But I sure am glad I was remembered by God. God had not forgotten my work and labor of love that I had shown toward His name when my life was threatened. When all the powers of hell was against me. You may be out there tonight and you think that you've come to the end and God has forgotten you. Something has happened in your life and it seems like that you don't can't touch God and God has just wiped you off of His list or something. Don't you ever think that God is that unrighteous. He said, "For God is not unrighteous to forget." He will not forget your work and labor of love that you've shown toward His name. He will not forget what you've done in Dawson Creek up yonder, brother, when they whipped you and everything else and tried to. He will not forget it when you're there after you've labored and served God and then you're upon the bed of affliction and the devil comes and says, "See, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. You're dying with cancer. You've got all kind of problems." He won't forget you. Psalmist David said, "The Lord maketh my bed in the time of my affliction." I want you to know He will not forget you. He didn't forget Job in all of his trials. He didn't forget all the things that when Daniel was in the lion's den. He didn't forget the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. He didn't forget any of his people. He'd be unrighteous to forget those that had sold out for God, that was laboring in His vineyard, that was working and showing love toward His name and ministering to the saints and do minister to all the people that have need. God will not forget you. Don't you ever let the devil tell you that God has forgotten you. That's a lie of the devil. And God has not forgotten you. He's just waiting on you to lift your voice up and say, God, here I am. I'm going to stand on your promise. All the powers of the devil, I'm not going to listen to him. I'm going to say that he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. But lo, I'll be with you until the end. Glory to God. I got a hold of this verse of Scripture and I realized. I began to go back down the memory's lane a little while. And I looked back at the time, way back when I was a little boy. And I went over to the swimming hole where we had on the river there. And you know how a big rain comes and sometimes it changes the depth or sometimes it fills it in. With sand, the swimming hole where we had. We didn't have these nice swimming pools like you got today. We had to go to the river. And in fact, that was our place where we took baths on Saturday. We didn't get but one a week sometimes, you know, except in a bath, in a wash tub, and had to set it out in the sun, draw it out in the... I don't know where y'all ever took a bath in a wash tub or not, but I have a lot of times. Yes, sir. Set it out, draw it up, and set it out in the sun, let it be warm, so because you plowed in the field and everything. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. And here I go over there at this wash hole, and I'm just going. I couldn't swim all that good anyhow. And you know what happened? I never did know what really took place, but I went down one time, the bottom had been washed out. The rain had come, and it looked like it was so deep, and I just went off in that place, and I couldn't find no bottom there. And I went down one time, and I come up, and I went down the second time, and the third time I was going down, and I didn't know. Now, I'm just a little fella. I don't know nothing about the power of God, but when I come to, I'm up on the bank. And after all those years of my wandering, the Lord spoke to me and said, who do you think it was saved your life back there? I'm the one that picked you up out of that water hole and put you on the bank. Nobody else throwed me a rope or anything. God did that. You see, there's one thing that most people don't understand. God can get a man anywhere he wants him. There's a lot of men around, and God doesn't protect Brother Mercer and Brother Rutledge and Brother Walden or any of the rest of us because of what kind of man we are. That's not the reason he protects us and don't let airplanes fall and cars run into us and people kill us. That's not the reason. That's not the reason. This old flesh is nothing but dust and everything in a different form today. It's not. That's not the reason. But God protects his gift that's in that man. He'll send a legion of angels down. He'll come himself and stand beside of you in battle. He'll be right there with you. It's not because it's Walden or Brother Mercer or Brother Rutledge. It's the gift of God that God protects in you, and he will never forget you when you are born again and know that you're on the Lord's side. He's not unrighteous to forget your labor and work of love that you have shown toward his name, lifting it up, preaching it when all hell is breaking loose, and then sickness and disease come on you and things of that sort, and you're persecuted. He does not forget you. If he did, he would be unrighteous. And so would man. When man looks out and brother, here's put shoes on my feet if I need them. And I'm hungry. And he's fed me. I needed some water to drink and he's given me water to drink. He's helped me. And then as soon as I get it from him, all the good things he's done, I go off and forget him. Man can do that. But if he does, he's an unrighteous man. A righteous man doesn't forget the things that others minister to them. And neither does God forget you when you work in labor. I'm talking to you, folks. I'm talking to you. I want you to see this thing. Somebody came to me not long ago and said, Brother Wallen, I raised my children right. I don't understand why the devil has got them. I don't understand why that they are gone astray. I don't understand this. I raised them. I've done what God told me to do. And now look out there at them. I guess the devil's just going to destroy them. I said, you're just confessing it. God hasn't forgotten the times you read the Bible to that child. God hasn't forgotten the time that you brought them to Sunday school. God hasn't forgotten the time that you carried them to church and told them right things. God hasn't forgotten that. Don't you ever forget that God knows what's going on. He knew where the prodigal son was that had been once in the father's house. He knew where the prodigal son was at. And there'll be a time, I don't know what he may have to go through with, but he'll come to himself and come home, Mama and Daddy, if you don't forget that God hasn't forgotten you. Glory to God. He's wonderful, isn't he? We look at this thing and see. What kind of a God would we be serving if we were to get up here? And after all the years that we have labored for Him and worked for Him and been sincere in our heart, and then the first battle we got in, He just said, well, good enough for you. He's not that kind of a God. You don't know the problems I've got, Brother Walden. You don't know what I've suffered with. You don't know. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care who you are or where you're from. And I don't care how holy you may seem to be. Nervous breakdowns only comes when there's something between you and your God. In the state of Georgia, they took a survey of the Milledgeville. They called it, that's the insane asylum down there. A few years ago, the medical doctors went down there and took a survey. And when they finished this survey, they found that 68% of all mental patients were backslidden Christians. 68% of all mental patients in that hospital, they'd run their records down, see where they came from. They'd once served God. They'd once lived a happy life. And they backslid and committed all kinds of crimes and things of that. And therefore, it worked on their minds. You see, some things that people don't know. You have two memories, so science say. One of them's a short memory, and one of them's a long memory. The short memory is only 12 seconds long. A thought can come in, but it can't stay there in that short memory but 12 seconds. It has to be thrown out, just like that. Some of you might be worried in this way. Oh, evil thoughts come to my mind. Brother Walden, I don't want to think those things. I wish I had another few weeks to preach here. I'd get into this. But I don't want to think these things. Well, you can't help from thinking these things. They come into that short memory. But you denounce that thought and say, that's not my thought, devil. That's the thought. That's your thought. I denounce it in Jesus' name. Now, if you rehearse it because it makes the flesh feel good, then you transfer it from the short memory to the subconscious, which is a long memory. And it may lay there desolate for weeks or even years, that thought, until one day Satan will come and resurrect that thought in your mind, and you'll play the act of sin. Listen to me. You get out here and eyeball all the lustful people up and down the streets, and when women dress and men dress the same way to cause the opposite sex to lust after them. You eyeball them and you look at them, and then you go home and you have a bad, filthy old dream at night. And I've done counseling over 20 years with just about every kind of case you can think of. And I find out that every case that I've had, Satan is behind all the troubles. Every case, somewhere or another, they've been flirting with the devil. I'll get back on my message in a minute. This fits right in with it. Your eyes are like a lens of a camera. And you look at that man and you look at that woman and you look at them and you just say, my. And you admire them in the wrong way. You admire that woman and you admire that man in the wrong way. And you go there and lay your head up on your pillow and go to sleep that night. The devil takes you into his dark room and he develops that film that you just took out there on that woman or that man out there on the street corner. And when he gets it developed, all the thoughts you had toward them comes through the dream. And the Bible said, oh, you filthy dreamers. Are you with me? Is it all right if I preach on a little more now? I want you to see this. You know how I look at women? I look at them as God's creation. There's beautiful women. There's nice looking men. And there's all kinds of, there's some that's not too beautiful. And you can't help that. And I can't either. But nevertheless, God made us white like we are. But if I see a woman, I look at that woman like my mama. I don't care who you are. And if I see a young woman, I look at her like my sister. Or like my own daughter. Come on. And who in the world, what kind of a man would it be that would lust after his mama or his sister or his daughter? And when you get to the place that you know that God is not unrighteous to forget you and you have His righteousness, you'll look at a woman like your mama. You'll look at a young girl like your sister or your own daughter, and the woman will look at a man like the father or their brother or their own son. You'll find out there won't be anything of breaking up homes. You'll find out there won't be anything of that going on when the church comes to that place. Hallelujah! Praise God! Glory to God! But we get into places today like that, and I have to preach a little this, and I'll get back on that again in a minute. We get in a place like that, and then the first time we have trouble, we want to blame God with it. We want to blame God. A little lady come up to me and said, I blame God for what He done to my daddy the other day. Daddy had a tragedy, and I blame God with it. So I hate God. I said, do you think God is that kind of a God? Do you really think that God is the one that did your daddy that way? Don't you know that God is not that kind of a God? God didn't come to take life. God didn't come to make sick. God didn't come to break legs. God didn't come to cause you to be blind. God didn't come to make you have deaf ears. God didn't come to separate homes. He came to give you power and again to heal and to open up the blinded eyes and to heal the brokenhearted, deliver you from the prison you were in, and to set the captive free. God came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't come to put burdens upon you. He came to take the burdens off of you. Identifying. That's good as the devil wants you to do is blame everything on God that he does to you. Come on. Do you understand? When you look at this thing and see. Now there's one thing about it. You have to treat the devil like the devil. I don't feel sorry for the devil. You have to treat the devil like the devil. I preached on the transferring of spirits down at Brother Mercer's church one night, and he said he's got to the place now that won't let nobody lay hands on him but him and a few others that they know. Because you know what? If my brother here has somebody in this church, and that man happens to be, and he doesn't know this now, he's sincere in his heart and he's just doing it because he feels this, and this man is not right, or this woman is not right, and they're in this church here, or if they come through town in an auditorium or a tent meeting or another church and you go there and you don't know that man's life, though he can preach like a man from another world, he's got a personality that can sweep you off of your feet. He's so influential there that he's got the best salt handshake and the kindest words and everything you can that you've ever seen in a man. I want to tell you something. If he is a gay, all he can do is transfer the spirit that he has onto you. Hello, I'm going to talk to you. Can I talk to you a few minutes? Then get back to my message here. I feel like there's a need for this right now. I'm being led by the Spirit. I feel like there's a need here. Two ladies sat in my meeting in Albany, Georgia, under the tent. I noticed their tears began to run down their eyes there while I was preaching, talking about the transferring of spirits and things of that. Two of them sat there and they cried. After the service, they came up and said, Brother Walden, we go to the First Baptist Church, but we got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Or we thought we did. Said a few months ago, said a man came through and had a meeting in one of the hotels, motels here in the banquet room. And said, we was there and said, we received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Up to that time, we did not have a problem in our home. My children was reverent. They did not never sass me. My husband and I was just real pals, you know. I mean, we didn't have no family problem whatsoever. After I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, said problems rose. I went back and told the people what it was, and they said, well, you know what it is. He said, no, don't think that I've come to bring peace, you know. Said, I've come to put a difference between the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law and the husband. Said, it's just that sword that's there. And because you got the Holy Ghost, they're rebelling against it. But said, now after I hear you preach, I understand that there's something else. My husband moved out of the bedroom with me. He's gone now, and we're about to get a divorce and all these kind of things. And said, I didn't know why it was. Why would God, after I get the Holy Ghost, let my home be broken up? Said, we found out the man. And they told me how they got the Holy Ghost. They got in the ear and said, you say what I say. I want to tell you something. If you got it that way, you better check it before you find out one of these days when you face that, you won't have it. That ain't the kind of Holy Ghost God gives. Man, God don't need a man to encourage somebody to talk in tongues. Man speaks with other tongues as a spirit gives them utterance. Not as man gives them utterance. And said, this man laid his hand on our head and told us what to say. Told us what to say, and we said it, and we went back. We had the Holy Ghost. Both of our homes is broken up now. We're both of them about to get a divorce, and said, we heard what you said about the transferring of spirits, and now we understand why it's like that. Said they caught this man that done that in a motel just a few over in Bainbridge, Georgia, with another man. He was a gay. The only spirit a gay can put on you is a gay spirit. And if you let everybody, Tom, Dick, and Harry, lay his hands on your head, the only part that he can impart to you is what he has. Did you know that the ministers of Satan was transformed into the apostles of Christ, the pure light? That you can't tell the difference if you don't know the Spirit of God? Did you know that? Now, Peter and John said, such as I have, I give unto thee. They had something to give, but they took notice that these men had been with Christ, so what they had, they got it from Christ. But these shysters that go across the country, do you know what happens? Now, I don't know who ought to got into that or not. I might ought to stayed right on my main stream there for a minute. But they go across this country. And they've got every kind of gimmick you can think of. I mean, they got every kind. And you come out there and they lay hands on you and prophesy over you and they bless you and they tell you all these things and you believe that. I don't say any of you do, but I'm talking about in general. And the people believe that. But if a man comes up and prophesies and says, yeah, I say unto thee, the Lord told me this and that and other about that, and you believe it. Whatsoever you believe will come to pass. That's the way fortune tellers work. You go to them and they read your palm and you believe. Say, well, I had a fellow tell me one time, said, you know, I went to the fortune teller and said he told me I was going to marry a black-headed woman. And they said, I married a black-headed woman, just like I said. Said they know just exactly how tall and everything was. I said, yes, after she told you that, you went to looking for a black-headed woman, just her size. One man said, I was there and said, I was going to trade cars. Said told me I was going to trade cars and get a new kind of car, a Ford car. And it was going to be a certain color and everything. And said, you know what? When I traded cars, said, it happened. I went to this place and had one just like that. And I got it. Said, she told the truth. He was looking for that kind of car. Deception all over the world today. And because of this, people come in a depressed state. Their minds are warped. Satan is... The battleground is in the minds of man. That's where it's at in the mind. That's where it started at. That's where it's at today. Satan first got Eve's attention and got her mind and got her to thinking in his way. Hello. And when she did, she yielded to the temptations and went against God's word. You know why you can't rest at night? Stop and take some inventory of your life. Look back down. Maybe God's trying to get your attention. And look and see, maybe you mistreated somebody or something's wrong somewhere. I know you're not going to like this. But there's a reason for all the problems you're having. Either you're ignorant and concerning God's promises. Not that you're ignorant, don't have any sense. But you're ignorant concerning God's promises. And don't know they're for you because some preachers told you that God doesn't heal today and that God has forgotten all about the sick today and God has forgotten all about His gift today and God's forgotten all about you today when you're out here in trouble and you're just going to have to fight this battle alone. Well, I'm here to tell you God hasn't forgotten it. He says, "My people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge." The lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge. Not because it wasn't there, but be rejected. I couldn't understand that. Lord, how in the world could they be destroyed because of the lack of knowledge? And today people have more knowledge than they ever have before. They went to school, they've learned the books, and everything. But you know, every book you read out of, every school book you got and every science book you study is second-handed knowledge. Every bit of it. Somebody else done had it for you. Come on. All right, now look. I looked at that. I wasn't satisfied. And I've been getting to run a little reference down and I found out what it really said. My people are destroyed because of the lack of common sense. That word lack of knowledge there in the original is common sense. Now what is common sense? Common sense is the knowledge that God gives every man. He's born with it. That's common sense. So they educate you out of common sense into man's knowledge, and then you destroy yourself. Man don't know how to live today. Man don't know how to get along in this world today. Everybody's trusting in man. Did you know the curse never... Can I go and preach like I feel like tonight? Man today, look at this. Man, God never cursed man. God cursed the earth for man's sake. Laid him laboring for the earnest living by the sweat of his brow among the thorns and the thistles and things of that and tilling the ground. He cursed the ground for man's sake. Cursed the ground for man's sake. This earth was a curse, had a curse on it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The devil didn't like that. He wanted that image of God and that one made in the image and likeness to be cursed. But God didn't curse it. He cursed the old serpent to crawl on his belly and eat the dust of the earth. Eat the very thing that that you were made out of. That's what he done for him. And I won't get into this other part, but I want you to see this. So the devil didn't like it, so he come up with a real smart idea. And finally God had to put another law in his word and said, "Curses be the man that trusteth in man." The only way you can have a curse on you today is when you take your faith out of God and put it in man. But blessed is he that trusteth in the Lord, for he shall be as a tree that's planted by the what? Rivers of living water. Now look at this thing. This earth had a curse on it. God hasn't forgotten his people down here. He's not unrighteous to forget you and I. He knows all the heartaches we're suffering today. He knows all the trouble we're having today. He hasn't forgotten us. And you know what? So in the time of the flood, the old earth went through a baptismal of water. Notice this. Now the earth went through a baptism. That old Andalusian world went through a baptism of water. The earth did. This is a type. I want you to see this. Now what happens? You as made out of the dust of the earth. Wonder why he said for us to be baptized. And especially in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because all power is in His name.
All power is in His name. There's no other name you can be sanctified by. There's no other name you can be saved by. I want you to get this. Some of you may back up on me and crawfish out, but that's all right. But notice this. Then what happens to us? Once we're baptized, John said that Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Right? Now what happens? What happens when a person is baptized in the water, like the earth had had a baptism of water at the time of the flood? Then we, when we're baptized in water, then we're going to have a baptism of fire, because He said so. In my little book out there on born again and what it means, it tells you what it really means to be born again. There's a brazen altar we talk about in the old Bible that they brought their sin offering up. And when they brought their sin offering up, if it was accepted by God, the fire came down out of heaven and consumed that offering up that they placed on the altar. Come on. When you have a true repentance, being baptized in the water in the name of the Lord, and you put yourself as a sacrifice on the altar, that fire of God, the Holy Ghost in fire, will come down and it consumes everything out of your life, the lust of the flesh. You know, I've never had a desire to go back to a dance hall. I've never had a desire in my life to live a sin life, have the things of sin in my life. God took the very desire out of me. I never had a desire to smoke. I never had a desire to drink. I never had a desire to get out and commit adultery. I never had a desire to do the thing, because when I repented of my sin, true repentance, got on the altar, the Holy Ghost in fire, He sent the fire down, consumed all of the desires out, purified me, sanctified me, filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I never had a desire. So you see what's really taking place here. When we see that God has not forgotten you, He'd be unrighteous to forget you in times like this. God hasn't forgotten you that are laboring and working for His name. Somebody said, oh, if I just didn't lift up that name of Jesus, you'd persecute it for the name of Jesus. Thank God. My own daddy forsook me when I took on the name of the Lord. My church emptied up and wasn't allowed to go back to my own church where I had founded for one solid year. They run me off. The man that I had pastor now working there, they took him out of my personal house trailer, didn't belong to the church and nothing there, and moved him out of town. But later on, I took my old dad and my mama, my brothers, my sisters, an old mill pond, and buried them in the name of the Lord. I was persecuted for it. A lot of doors is closed in my face, and I'm not a dogmatic preacher in this matter. I just believe what the Bible says. But now look at this thing. You see, as the curse had been placed on the earth, and as man had had a curse placed on them because of trusting in man, when man comes to God in true repentance, what does he do? He takes his faith out of everything else and places it in God. You have to, Brother Mercer, or it's not true repentance. And therefore, when you take your faith out of everything else and place it in God, then you receive that fire. Come on. That consumes everything up, and the old man Adam is dead, and a new man named Jesus lives in. And we, as many have been baptized into His death, we also are after His likeness of His resurrection. He lives within us. We become part of that first resurrection because He is the first begotten of the dead. The Bible said He was. Come on. And He is the resurrection that lives within us. At the end of this thing, and as the end of this thing is over, we'll find that this old earth here that has already went through a baptism of water, like we went through a baptism of water, like we received the Holy Ghost and fire, then this earth will go through a baptism of fire. And the earth will be purified, and we'll live 1,000 years on this earth, ruling and reigning with Christ where there's no sin. But this earth has got to go through a baptismal fire, and And there won't be anything except like it was in the beginning before the fall of the garden. Do you understand? God has not forgotten us. My God, there's 1,000 years of rest laying right out there before us. Let's look at this thing a little closer. If one day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is His one day, He worked 6 days and rested on the Sabbath day, right? Did He do that? All right. The first 2,000 years, what happened? The flood came. The next 2,000 years, what happened? Christ came. And now then, there's been 6,000 years or 6 days that God has been in the making. He's made man in His image, but man has not become in His likeness yet. You see, Jesus come to restore to you and I that Adam lost in the garden and more. Adam never did get to eat of the tree of life. It was there, and God intended for him to eat of that tree of life. Do you love Him? But he didn't get to eat of the tree of life. He ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then walked into Eve's sin, her transgressions, just like Adam did not transgress, but Eve did. Jesus Christ knew no sin, but He walked into our sin and gave His life from our sin that He might redeem unto Him a bride that had been a transgressor, gave His life, shed His blood, died, took the keys of hell and death and hold them today, just like Eve. Adam, she was part of Him. And what happened? He said the church in Ephesus. In Revelations, He says now, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. He that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, I will give, what? The tree of life, to eat from the tree of life. Now, what tree of life? The same tree of life that was in that garden back there, that the flame and swords have been keeping unto this day. The devil can't get to it to pollute it in no way, and no man can get to it to go through the door, and Jesus is the door. Hallelujah. I want you to see this. Don't miss this. Where is it at, Brother Walden? Where is that tree of life at? I'm going to tell you where it's at. Paul said, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. I knew a man about 15 years ago that went into the third heaven, which is the paradise of God. I heard men talking. I heard voices saying this, things said that was not even lawful to be spoken on this earth. Why? Because this earth has not been sanctified by the fire yet. The things that he heard up there are so holy, holy that they're not even, this earth cannot contain it because it's not sanctified yet. And it took him nearly 6,000 years to complete that man. Man was not complete yet. Oh, he was, Brother Wall. No, sir, he didn't eat of the tree of life. There was one other thing that he had to do, and eat from the tree of life. And when he'd eaten that tree of life, he'd have been in eternal life forever and ever. Now, what do you think the devil wanted to do? What was his idea of trying to get them to eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil for? So that they would fall, right? Now then, that was one thing, but what was his main goal? What was he trying to reach? He wanted them to eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil and then get to the tree of life. God said, drive them out of the garden lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever in their sin. Then the devil would have been equal with God in eternal life, and a man could have lived forever and done sin. God said it himself. I didn't say it. Lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever in their sins. That's what the devil was hoping for. So God drove him out of the garden, put the flaming swords up. Look at this now. And now then Jesus come and said, I'm going to give him to eat of the tree of life. Them that overcomes, I'm going to give them to eat of the tree of life. Then in that tree of life, what did he say? Where is it going to put us at? Now I want to show you this. He says, now are we the sons of God right now, and it doeth not appear what we shall be, but we are going to be like Him, when He appears at the closing of this sound of the last trumpet, we won't only be in His image, but we'll be after His likeness because we're going to be like Him. Hallelujah! And I believe with all of my heart that as the closing of this 6,000 years goes out, I believe there's a 7,000 years of ruling and reigning. I believe that's how close it is to the second coming of the Lord. God is not unrighteous to forget you, my brothers, my ministers, my co-workers here, and every one of you. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor and work of love that you show toward His name here in Louisiana. Though you're afflicted, though you're persecuted, God will make your bed in the time of affliction. He'll be your friend when everybody else forsakes you. He'll be with you in the darkest hour, the deepest valley. He'll be with you when all the storms are brewing. He hasn't forgotten you. He's not unrighteous. He's got something prepared for you. Hallelujah. That's glorious. It's coming down from God. Hallelujah. That new Jerusalem where we're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years while the devil is bound. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you see what I'm talking about? This old earth has got to have a baptismal fire. Just like you've got to have a baptismal fire. I preached a message the other day from Acts 2, 1, 2, 3, and 4. My message was this, and he said, "And on the day of Pentecost, as a sound and mighty rushing wind it came, and the tongues of fire set upon all of them. And then they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And I spoke to this group of Pentecostal folks that we had there, and I said, "We've got the tongues, but where's the fire? We've got the tongues, but where's the fire?" And I want you to know every genuine been baptized with the genuine Holy Ghost, they've got some fire. I want to tell you, you can have a tongue because somebody can say, get in your ear and say Shikamaree and Shikamarai and go ahead and find a hole in the sky, something like that. You can do that, but that doesn't give you the Holy Ghost. Brother, everywhere a person receives a genuine Holy Ghost, there is some fire that burns into his bones and his bosom that takes sin out of him and the desire of sin out of him, and he doesn't want to live for the devil anymore. He doesn't want to go out and carouse around. He's not looking to have the pleasures of this life. He's eating that hidden manna. He's coming down and eating that bread of life that Jesus said, "I am, that you might eat of and not die." Hallelujah. Praise God. We're nearing that hour. Science say they've come up with a new calendar and found all the lost time. And they say on October the 16th, 1988, the end of the 7th of 6,000 years will be. How accurate they are, I do not know. I only quote what they say. And they went back and found all the lost time. Daniel said they'd seek to change times and things of this. In the early church, the early days, back in the old Bible, there was no such thing as a 31 days and 28 days. There was 30 days across the calendar in each month. Hello. 30 days. Wasn't no 365 days and 366 days on leap year. Wasn't no such thing as that. 30 days. You go back and see when they changed that thing, and back in nearly 1,800 years ago, and you add up just those 5 days for 1,800 years, and you'll find that you're nearing the 7,000 year. Hello, folks. Why are you talking like this, Brother Walden? God hasn't forgotten you. When you're rolling and tossing on your bed, when you're there wrecked with pain, don't let the devil talk to you and say that God doesn't care for you and this is God's way of chastening you. One person come up to me and said, "Brother Walden, don't you know the Lord is chastens them that He loves?" And said, "He's whipping me. I know this is what He's doing. That's the reason I've got this old sickness and cancer in my body. God is chastening me." And said, "He's chastening them that He loves." And he said, "If he didn't chase us, we were bastards." I said, "That's what he said." Now I'd like to ask you a question about it. I said, "Okay, Brother Walden, what is it? What's he whipping you for?" "Well, I don't know." I said, "What you done wrong?" "I haven't done anything wrong." "You haven't got hate, bitterness, the fruits of unrighteousness in your life? You haven't mistreated nobody? You've read your Bible?" "Brother Walden, I've lived a life. I haven't missed so many
days in Sunday school. I go to church. I pay my tithe. I do all this. I don't know. I said, then could it be the devil whipping you and telling you it's God doing it? If you haven't done anything, God is not that kind of a God. He's not unrighteous to do a thing like that. If you're living holy and your life is pure before God, He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And if you have a pure heart toward God and you're serving God, and then the devil comes up there and puts some on you and say, God's whipping you now. What's he whipping? I stop and say, what's he whipping for? I got a little girl back home. And one day my wife told me, said, honey, Teresa done so and so, and I just walked on in where she's at, and I began to give her a good licking. She stops and said, Daddy, wait a minute. What are you doing this for? What have I done? She done forgot about it, see? I said, your mother said so and so and so and so. She couldn't understand why I was whipping. I said, she hadn't done nothing to me, you know. Then I brought it to a memory that what her mother said. Do you think God just snatch you up every time He sees you and say, well, I think I'll slap a cancer in your throat. You talk too much. I think I'll cause your heart to skip in the beat. I want to see you suffer some. God doesn't do things like that. I want you to walk with arthritis and every joint in your body aching and everything. God's chastening me. Why is He doing it for? What have you done to deserve that? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you pay your tithe? Or do you love your brothers? Are you living according to God's Word? Are you obeying God's Word in every respect, the best of your knowledge? Look that devil straight in the face and said, devil, I want you to know I'm standing on the rock where He said I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to know I'm standing there. Get out of my way. Resist the devil. And the Bible says He'll flee from you when you submit yourself unto the Lord. Now do you see? People are living in these things and saying, well, I'm being, is this for the glory of God, or the devil is chastening me, and the Lord is chastening me, and you don't even know what He's whipping you for. Well, Brother Walden, you know how it is. So, well, I know what I've done wrong. Then repent and get Him off of your back. If you've done something and God's chastening you, get Him off of your back. But I'm going to tell you, God doesn't chasten you that way. You read over in Deuteronomy 28 and 29th chapter, and He'll tell you that all these blessings will come on you as long as you keep His laws and His commandments and walk in His statutes and hear what the Lord says. He said all these blessings will come on you, didn't He? Then what did He say if you don't keep them? He said, I'll just withhold them from you. That's the way He chastens you. That's the way He does. He just withholds all the blessings from you. Come on, folks, I'm talking to you. Do you love the Lord? I'm talking to you. He hasn't forgotten you. I don't know why I can't prosper. I don't know why I can't get ahead in life. I don't know why everybody else looks like doing better than me. Maybe your confession. I don't know why all of these things are like this. I don't understand this. Why do some get healed and some don't get healed? And I was prayed for and I'm as good as that sister there. Watch out, your attitude may be standing in the way. Come on. Judge not lest you be judged. Condemn not lest you be condemned. See what I mean? With the same condemnation. Learn to live according to God's Word. He said if you keep my commandments, He said you can ask anything, and I will do it if you keep my commandments. Then He turns around and says, if you love me, you will keep my sayings. You'll do what I say to you. If you love me. If you love me. Now, I haven't only got but one more night. And I've got to get all I can in. And I know I'm preaching about 6 messages in one here tonight to bring all these things in. The Bible says that perfect love casteth out fear. Right? Perfect love casteth out fear. For many, many years. In fact, for 20 years. I preached that and I said, bless God, I've got that perfect agape love in me and I don't fear what man can do to me. I only fear what God. I couldn't understand that thing. Never. Is it all right if I try to crowd all of these things in? Because I don't know when I'll ever get to come back. But I want you to get a few nuggets here. You can get this tape and then you can listen to it and you can get a lot more as you go and read the scripture. But I won't have time for all of it.
I looked at that thing and I began to search that thing out. Perfect love casteth out fear. The Bible teaches us that we are perfected in love. And I began to look at that and I said, yeah, Lord, I've got that perfect love. I don't fear. I've got it. But then He brought something to my attention. He says, have you ever noticed your child when a storm comes up and the lightning strikes outside the house, or maybe they wake up frightened at night and they're real afraid, and you or the mother will go and get it and put it in its arms, and all of a sudden it's just as quiet and it quits its sniffling, quits its crying? What is it? That perfect love of daddy and mama. He feels safe and secure because he knows mama loves him. Daddy loves him. My little boy got frightened one night, and he come out of that little bed of his, you know. I don't know what happened. He must have had a bad dream or something. I don't know what had happened. I don't know, just woke up in the dark or something. And over that little old bed he come out, and he didn't stop on this side. He jumped right in the middle. I said, get back in your bed, son. No, no. He snuggled up to old daddy here, and I put him in my arms and talked to him. I said, everything's going to be all right, son. And he went right back off to sleep. The Bible says, therefore now remaineth a rest to the people of God in any situation. But I found out that fear is torment too. But perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love. Did you know that not only it casts out fear? If I've got perfect love, I've walked into the hospital many times, and all of Job's conference had been there before I was there, you know. And they go in and they look and try to figure out what sin the person had committed. And they say, you sure do look yellow around the eyes and don't look like you got many more days to stay here. Boy, that's encouragement. Look like you're doing fine. Well, we're going to miss you when you're gone. Now, I've had them to do that. They come done me that way, I know. And I'd walk in, I'd look, and I said, my, you look good today. And I wasn't lying, because I was seeing beyond that veil of death. Her eyes would sparkle. I said, don't have any fear. God sent me to pray for you. And the moment I'd speak those words, a smile would come on her face and said, Brother Walden, I pray that God would send you. Or he'd say, I pray that God would lead you here. And I'd talk just a few minutes. And because I had perfect love, and I ministered perfect love first, showed them that somebody cared, and the fear left. So you can't pray for people till you get fear out of them. As long as fear is there, it hinders their faith. You got to get fear out of the way. You got to get that fear of death out of the way before they can have faith to live. And your perfect love can cast that fear out when you minister it to them. It don't only work on human beings. It works in all the creatures of God. I don't know where Brother Mercer heard me tell this or not, but when I was so sick that time, see, I passed over 1,000 gallstones. You nurses here or doctors here, you'd say I'm lying, but I'm not lying. I passed over 1,000 gallstones. I passed pieces of raw flesh from my body like that. I just got back from Santa Paula, Brazil, and an attack hit me. My insides was rotten. My pancreas was inflamed. My spleen was messed up. I dropped from 210 pounds to 120 some odd pounds. Yellow as a pumpkin. Dying. Skin and bones. People come and paid their last respect to me. I refused to go to the doctor. I said, I preached it all these years. Maybe that was crazy. Maybe I shouldn't have been that way. But I stood there. I walked the floor. I rolled in the floor. I hurt so bad. My liver was swollen. My pancreas, and I began to pass. Well, I didn't tell nobody at the church. My wife knew it, but they knew I was losing weight and knew I was getting in bad shape. And one night, a group of black people heard that Brother Walden was sick. Went and got up by themselves and prayed all night long. And the next morning I got up, I passed my first session of 78 gallstones. Not kidney stones, gallstones. And in a period of 9 months, I passed over 1,000 gallstones. I heard them interviewing some ladies on the radio in Toronto. Heard about it. And they said that they'd rather give birth to a baby than to have a gallstone, to pass a gallstone. It's more painful. You're supposed to stay in the bed 21 days if you pass one gallstone. I never missed 1 week preaching. Sit down and had to preach. Praying for the sick. God healing. I couldn't understand it. I'm dying in God's healing. But I found out something. That it's not this old scaffold here. It's the life of the vine. Amen. And the healing that God give me is not for myself. It's for others. Freely you have received, now freely give. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? During that time, I had a hobby. My hobby was bees. I love bees. I studied bees. My daddy had bees. And I had to stay at home. I couldn't travel. I established a church back home. That's where I pastored at there while I was sick. And I went down to Folkestone, Georgia and bought me some bees. I come back. And all of this has knocked all the meanness out of me if I ever had any in me, brother. I had no hate, no bitterness, no hate, nothing. I've done repented over these months. And I love everything. You see, I love life. I hate to even run into a little bird when I'm driving down the road. It just grieves me sometimes. Why did that bird was enjoying life. Man has got taxes to pay and under pressure of the government and all these kind of things. And here's a bird flying. I had to take its life now. I don't like to take nothing's life. You might think I'm chicken-hearted, but whatever it is, I don't like to take it unless I'm going to eat it. That's the only. I don't believe in the, all this year hunting for sport and leave them in the woods and get the heads off and all that. I think that's wrong. If you're going to kill your deer, kill it and eat it. If you're going to kill something, kill it and eat it. The Lord's good, isn't he? But anyhow, I got those beads. My daddy's setting up down in the shade tree. And can I talk to you just a moment? I want to tell you this about this perfect love and let you know that God hadn't forgotten you. And I'm down there trying to get that queen out of that little thing to put it in the hive, and I can't. And something said, just reach in there with your hand. Get him out. Now, I was barefooted. I had no mask on, no hood on. And I'm there with these bees. And I just reached in, got the bees out, put them in the hive. And I'd go out that day after day, never got stung a time. And I'd watch them as they work. They're fascinating. Just take a study of bees, and you'll see what a great God we have. You'll see what they're used for. It wasn't for the bees. They breed the flowers and breed the corn and they breed all of these things. That's what God uses them bees for. And so they work real good, and I'd go out and watch them. They'd fly them, and they never would sting me. So came time to take the honey from them, and I took too much out of the hive. And that winter time come, and so they didn't have enough to survive on. And so when it would warm up where they could fly and they didn't have nothing to eat, you know where they came? The whole swarm of bees come and lit on my screen door. You think I'm crazy? They knew I loved them. They wouldn't sting me. The fear of me was out of them. They knew I wasn't going to swat them. Every creature of God can sense fear. I sense it. You sense it. But I don't sense any fear of this man because I know he loves me. I don't sense any fear of that man because I know he loves me. I don't sense any fear of anybody in here because I believe you folks love me in the Lord. Do you see what I mean? So I'd go in and get some sweet water, preserves, a syrup or something. I'd take it out and they'd all leave. And they'd go back and eat that syrup and go into the hive. If there's any in there, I wouldn't let my wife or nobody kill one if he got in the house. I'd just go and let him light on my hand and take him out there. And this happened 2 or 3 times in one winter, not just one time. So I was telling this one day, and the fellows come at me and said, I said, them was just somehow or another, you put a spell on them. I said, no, that ain't it. I said, I just love them. Do you love? Hallelujah. If you know somebody loves you, do you have fear of them? Huh? Did you know that? I'm closing. Now I want you to see this. Because God hasn't forgotten you. You're sitting here. God remembers you. You're touched by the feeling of He's touched by the feeling of your infirmities. My brother-in-law came to me and said, Brother Walden, said, I found a bee tree over yonder in the side of the road, and said, I want you to go with me, and we'll get the queen out and bring them back over here, and we'll set them up over here and get the honey out of the tree. I said, all right, I'll go with you. People done said, you know, something was about them bees there, a little different than other bees. And these was these little black German bees. They'll sting you like a hornet. He's wrapped up from the top to his feet and wrapped up, and I'm going with no gloves on or nothing over my head, and we down there, and I'm scratching in the bottom of that thing, and they're hitting that old helmet of his. Pop, 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 and I'm reaching down there hunting that queen with my bare hand. Others that went with us are standing down the road about a half a mile. And they think I'm crazy. But they're seeing if I tell them the truth, see. So I turn around. And I finally get the queen out. We put her in the box with the rest of the bees that we done got, you know, and everything. Got a few of them. Didn't get all of them. And while we're doing that, one flew up and got under my brother-in-law's and got in there and stung him on the inside of his mouth. Another one got in there and hit him behind the... One got up his britchy legs and one got on his arm. And I'm just standing there and he's running by this time, headed down the road. I haven't got stung one time. I had love. Those bees even sensed it. A dog can sense it. A human can sense it. Perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. A few weeks ago, I was in camp meeting. A man come down there. His wife had a little baby. Must have been just about a year old, a little older. He was just crying. He was just screaming. I mean, he was just going just like he's just and just come down there. His mama said, he's got the devil in him. So we can't do nothing. We lock him in a room, put him in a closet. We beat him and we've done everything else. And he's getting worse and worse. Brother Walden, would you pray and cast this devil out of him? I stopped and stood there and I seen the actions of the mother and the daddy in the home. How they fuss and how they fight, and that spirit got off of them onto the child. And I just reached over and got the child and I said, come here. I talked to him. He's crying and screaming. And I said, I whispered in his ear and I said, I love you. His little wet cheek rubbed up against my cheek and I squeezed him a little bit and he squeezed me and hugged my neck. Didn't he want to go back to his mom and daddy? Love. Love. They brought her. They called me in Toronto, Canada. God hadn't forgotten us. He loves us. Baptist man had a business there, electrical lighting business in Toronto, and he said, my daughter has been in the insane asylum, the mental ward, for 8 years. Now I'm closing after I tell this. 8 years. And he said, I think God has just forgotten all about us. God hasn't done nothing. We prayed and we've asked God to do it, and he looked like he's forgotten us about our daughter being in there. When she was 2 years old, she rocked that cradle back and forth and tore the drapes down off of the windows and everything and said we couldn't do nothing with her. I had to put her in this home. She'd been there 8 years. Said, do you think if we'd bring her to the church that you'd pray for, if they let us take her out, that God would do something? Well, what am I going to tell them? I'm preaching faith. I got to say yes. Whether I want to or not, I got to say yes. And so I said, yes, bring her on. So they couldn't keep her out but 2 hours. So they could get her out at 5:30, and they had to have her back at 7:30. Well, I didn't get there till 8 o'clock. So they took on themselves to keep her out and take a chance of getting in trouble with the authorities. And so when I walked to the platform that night at 8 o'clock, we were singing a song. 1,200 people or more was in that auditorium. We were singing the song I sung last night, I Love Him. I love him. I loved him. And I looked over the congregation. I saw the man sitting down there with his wife, his other children, and this little girl. 8 years in a mental institution. Her eyes was dancing. You could see the demon spirits all over her, in her. Just see the action of Satan in that child. I just simply walked down, just as calm, walked over to her. Took her in my arms. Took her away from mom and daddy. Walked a few steps away and I whispered in her ear and I said, I love you. Jesus loves you. Help me sing this song. I lie not.
30 seconds, she was as sane as I am and you are here tonight. I didn't even pray for her. I just ministered love to her. When God's love is projected, fear, evil, sickness, diseases leaves. They couldn't believe it. I've got the tape at home on a videotape where an atheist doctor that was of that hospital sat there with the mother and the daddy and the girl and questioned her for 2 solid hours. And the last statement that the atheist doctor said, God has done more in 30 seconds than we could have done in 21 years. God's love projected. He hasn't forgotten you. God is not unrighteous to forget you. Your labor of work and labor of love that you've shown toward His name and do minister to the saints and do minister. God has not forgotten you tonight. God knows every heartache. God loves you. God cares for you. And God wants you to be healed. God wants you to recognize you're a child of the King. God wants you to know that you belong to Him. God has not forgotten you tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? God hasn't forgotten you. God loves you. God wants to heal you. The problem is we've forgotten about all of God's promises. We've forgotten about all of His promises where He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I'll be with you until the end. We've forgotten about His promises when He said He'd be right there with us. Do you understand? Look at this thing. Go ahead, you can play soft behind me. Look at this thing. Try that love. Try it and see. Minister it. Minister it. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Try it. Don't ever say words that would make a person feel worse. Say something that'll make them feel better. Isn't the Lord wonderful? The other night, I was standing behind the tent. I heard some screaming and hollering up there above the tent. I'm fixing to go to the platform. I'm standing out there in the back with Brother Gray from Tallahassee, Florida. And I looked, and here comes somebody through the darkness. And I said, who in the world is that? And it looked, man, they were a mess. Happened to be my niece. She got right close to me, and she lived right above the tent up there. I looked at her and her face was beat. That husband of her beat her because she wanted to come to church. Her nose was a-bleeding, her eyes was a-bleeding. Her head was soft where he'd beat her on the back of the head and it just swollen up, it puffed. And there she was, she just fell in my arms. She was crying. Why did this have to happen to me? My life has been so messed up. And she was just sobbing and crying. I'm standing there thinking, what can I say? And I said, Sheila, Uncle Franklin loves you. God loves you. And right there I talked to her. She quit crying. And I said, God will deal with him for doing that. A man that beat a woman like that don't deserve a good woman. And I wasn't talking about her to leave him or nothing like that. I just said he don't deserve her. As I talked to her about how much God loved her, how much He cared for her, she began to wipe the tears from my eyes and she quit crying. The pain seemed to leave. She said, I'm going over to Mama's. She went on over to Mama's and about halfway between my message, and about halfway in my message, I looked back and here walks Sheila in. She done got her hair fixed. Done got something over that face where it bruised and everything. And she's sitting back there with her hands up praising God. You know what happened? She had hate in her heart toward that man when she come there. But she, when that love was ministered of God's agape love, it took the hate out and she went on loving God. You can't love God with hate in your heart toward nobody. Makes no difference what they do. You got to pray for your enemies. Do good to them, despitefully use you. Can we pray? Father, in that lovely name, above every name, we've labored, we've worked. The road has been long. The mountain's been high. The valley's been wide. The storm has been brewing and it's dark. But we recognize that you're not unrighteous to forget us and forget our work and labor of love that we showed towards your name. And as we've ministered to thousands of saints and do minister tonight in your name, we know that you're going to confirm your word. Something's going to happen. People's hearts going to be lifted up. Bitterness and hate. May tonight, God, the love that I have for this congregation. May tonight, O God. O God. Be projected into every life. In Jesus' name. I've got to tell you one more little story. It's just short. I was invited to come preach to this church on a Sunday night. I was in this city. Huge church, bigger than this church here. And this was a week in advance I had notice of. They had 5 splits in the church. Every one of them came to me and told me the story of who was in fault. Can you imagine going to have to go to a church and done heard the sides of all 5 splits in the church? And I've got to preach on Sunday night. And I know every problem that the church has got. I'm walking behind the platform. Lord, what am I going to preach? I'm as blank as a wall. Every time I'd think of a subject to preach, I'd say, well, that other than I think he told me, and they'll think I'm taking sides. What am I going to preach? I stepped up behind the platform and I didn't have one bit of a message when they called me. I'm as blank as that wall. And a word of prophecy came over and I had a vision. And while I had that vision, I saw a vessel come down out of heaven and set in the middle of that church. And I saw the hearts of man just leaping one from another. And every one of the hearts of man and woman was leaping into that vessel. And when all the hearts had leaped out, just like they leaped out of the heart, like a heart leaped out, I saw a hand come down through the top of that church and begin to stir that pot. And it stirred that pot, that vessel. And then the hand held it up and it was one heart. The scripture came to me, he made them of one heart and of one soul. And the great grace of God was upon them all. I told the vision. And people began to move from the seat to seat and confess their faults one to another. The altars filled up and the entire church was healed. He made them of one heart and of one soul. Let's sing, I love him. I love him. Do you love him?
I love him because he first loved me,
and sing it, it's beautiful. I can't sing, y'all have to sing it.
Salvation on Calvary.
Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you raise your hands and love him? He hasn't forgotten you. He knows the growth in your body, the pain you bear. He knows the burden you're carrying, the loved ones you've lost. He knows how you feel.
Love him. Because he first love me and birth just my salvation on Calvary.
Something's about to happen in this place. Sing it again.
I love him.
Love him.
Do you love him?
I love him.
Because.
Oh, hallelujah.
Love. Love me.
And
virgin.
Keep on loving
him. Salvation.
On Calvary. Glory to God. Keep on worshiping.
Such as I have, my sister, I give unto thee. May every burden, every yoke, every troubled mind, and every restless night that you have, and every nerve, every problem, right now, remember, God has not forgotten you, and He is projecting His love into you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through faith in His name. Hallelujah. Go ahead and worship Him now. Let the Holy Ghost have His way. Go ahead. Glory to God. Go ahead. Let the Holy Ghost have His way. Go ahead and speak it out fluently. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go ahead. Speak it on out fluently. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Oh, isn't He wonderful? Don't you love Him?
Oh, I love you.
Oh, my, I feel His presence here tonight.
Because
hallelujah. Thank you, God, for being so good to us.
Love me.
Glory to God. Praise His name. Glory to God. Don't you love Him tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see in the Spirit tonight, there's a man in the congregation and he has an alt against someone. And also there's a woman there. God wants you to get up out of your seat and be a real man. The ones you have the alt, you have a little difference between, is here present tonight. God wants you to, and when you do, you're going to receive a healing and a blessing from God because of obedience. And go to this person and say, there may be many of you, but I only see two are in the Spirit. And God wants you to go and say, brother or sister, I want you to forgive me. I shouldn't have thought this of you. I shouldn't have said that, whatever that is. I know what I'm talking about. You said, I'm not going to do that. Then you'll have to rebel. But God knows. I saw this in the Spirit just a moment ago. Do you want God to heal the wounded hearts? See, we have healing services for the whole person. But it's up to you to do it. He says, if you have an alt against your brother, remember, when you bring your gift to the altar, remember that you have an alt against your brother, go to him. Be reconciled. There's some reconciliation need to be made tonight. And I want you to do it now as we sing I Love Him one more time. If you don't, the blood's off of my hands. The blood's off of my hands. I can't do your confessing for you. Maybe just a little word you've said, a little hard feelings you've had. I'm waiting.
He
It's up to you. But God said to do it. Whether you do it or whether you don't, it doesn't bother me that much because the blood's off of my hands. Everybody pray for a moment. Let them come to themselves. Oh God. Pray. Art's going to sing it one more time. If you don't turn to the confess, you don't do it, I'm going on with the service. The blood will be off my hand. I'm not going to call you out and put my finger on your nose. Because this is something between you and God. I'm just telling you, God wants you to do it. Maybe your wife. Maybe your husband. You may have to just turn to him and say, listen, I'm sorry for the argument that we've had. But God wants you to get that out because you need a healing. You need some blessings of God in your life. Sing it one more time. And after this, sing it one more time. Everybody, keep your eyes closed. You don't need to know who it is. God's doing it.
Oh, I love you.
God's doing it. Everybody keep praying. Keep your eyes closed. Oh God. Oh God.
Oh, and he purchased my
raise your hands, everybody.
Salvation on
God. How do you feel that sweet Spirit of God? It's resurrection power. Whatever you need right now, God will meet it right now. I don't have to call you out of the audience. I don't have to tell you you've got heart trouble, a back trouble, a ear trouble, a eye trouble. God's Spirit is in the midst right now to destroy every yoke. The Bible said because of the anointing, the yoke is destroyed. Not because of a man's touch, but because of the anointing of God, it destroys every yoke. Tell him if you've got ear trouble. Tell him if you've got cancer, tumor, arthritis, sugar, diabetes, whatever it is. Tell him if your home's about to be broken up. Tell him if you got migraine headaches. Tell him right now and say, God, I believe your word has been sent to heal me this night. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise His name. My God, my God. Praise His name. 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 Glory to God. Praise His name. Oh, hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise His name. Honor His name. Give glory to His name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Miracles are happening all over this auditorium. I want you to stand to your feet and give Him the glory. Right now, stand to your feet and give Him the glory. Stand to your feet and give Him the glory. Stand to your feet and give Him the glory. Worship Him now. Worship Him now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God hasn't forgotten you. He's not unrighteous. He's healing you right now. He's healing those growths. He's healing those backs. He's healing those kidneys. He's healing that liver. He's healing that gallbladder. He's healing that heart trouble. He's healing that Merkel's veins. He's healing that arthritis. He's healing that neuritis. Jesus hasn't forgotten you. When you confess and when the Spirit of God comes in, He sends His word. He sends His anointing. He drives out sickness. He drives out disease. Demon oppression has to leave.
hindrance has to go through faith in His name. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I curse every sickness, every disease. I curse every oppression of the devil. I bind the forces of hell and now loosen these people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through faith in His name that every one of them is free. Every one of them is free. They're free from arthritis. They're free from garters. They're free from tumors. They're free from prostate gland trouble. They're free from every known disease that is in this place now because by His stripes, Satan, I want you to know that they have been healed by the power of Almighty God. This night, they have been healed spiritually and physically, and the blessings of God is upon them, and I bind you and cast you out of their lives through the perfect love of God in Jesus Christ's name. Well, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You out there tonight in your seat that knows that God has touched your life. You might have had a sickness, an oppression, or whatever it was. Hate, a bitterness in your heart. Whatever it was, and you had something there, and you know that God's delivered you of it, I want you to raise your hand. Look at that. Look what the healing has happened. Look at the healing here tonight. Look at it tonight. Look all over this congregation. God has sent His word and healed. God has set you free. Miracles. I don't have to know what it is. God knows what it is. You know what it is. The power of the Spirit of the living God is in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. While you're standing praising God, sing that one more time, I love Him. And then we're going to sing another song. Everybody sing it if you love Him and thank Him for it.
I love Him.
You that know you had a testimony tonight. God has delivered you. I'd like for you to come down here. You know that God's done something in your life. I want you to come and tell me what it is. Would you come? You that raised your hand. You that raised your hand and know that God's ministered to you in some way tonight, come down here and let me and share it with somebody. You love the Lord? Amen. Praise God. I don't care what it is, if it's a difference between a brother or a sister, if it's back trouble, heart trouble, hate, bitterness, envy, blindness, deafness, dumbness, whatever it is, come on up on the platform here. Glory to God. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Do you love Him? Love Him. I love Him because He first. Do you love Him? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sister, what did the Lord do for you?
He healed me. And I feel that my burdens have been released.
What was wrong with you?
My eye and what? My side.
And you healed. And you burdened.
Had an eye problem and a side problem. Raise your hand and thank God for that. Come on. Rejoice in the Lord. You'll find every night will be different in my meetings. Because God knows just how to work. Amen. Praise. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Him and thank Him for it. The Bible said, rejoice with them that rejoice. All right, sister.
Well, I've been having problems that have been causing me to have spiritual problems. And when you walked up, I was sitting there praying that God would show me more of His perfect love so I might have it. And I could overcome the problems that I was having, and I got it.
She got it. I didn't know why I had to change so much tonight and go from love to all these things, but God knew, didn't He? Amen. Raise your hands and let's praise God for that. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Glory to God. All right, my brother.
I've been having a hurting that stayed in my neck, stayed in my shoulder a lot, and it was hurting a while ago even when I'd raised my arm up, and I know now that it's healed.
You know now that it's healed. Raise your hands and praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Come on and worship God, folks. All right, my brother.
What happened to you?
Well, I was playing softball one day, and I hurt my shoulder. And I'd never been able to lift my hand straight up. Until tonight, I can lift it straight up in the air because I had gnawed against my brother, and I went to him, and I asked him to forgive me, and the Lord forgive me. Hallelujah. And I thank
and
Jesus.
He was healed when he asked him, see? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Raise your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. When perfect love is projected, amen. Praise God. Come here, little sister. Amen. What happened to you?
I thank the Lord for touching me tonight. I came home from work sick today, and I thank Him for taking the flu away. But I'm even more thankful. I don't understand why the things that have been happening to me have happened, but I know it's the Lord's will, and I thank Him for letting me trust Him.
Praise God. Raise your hands and thank God for that testimony. All right, my little brother, come right over here. Amen. What happened to you?
I was sitting back here a while ago ever since I got these boots I got on. My toe would hurt. My little toe would hurt. And I asked the Lord to heal me, and He healed me for it, and I thank you.
Just a little toe. Just a little toe, and God's concerned about it. You know why He's concerned about a little toe? Because that little toe is part of that temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Did you know that? Know ye not that your bodies is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and that includes a little toe. Do you love the Lord? Raise your hands and praise Him. Brother, what in the world happened to you?
Brother Walden, I tell you what, I got a touch of arthritis and a touch of sinus that's been plaguing me and bothering me for a good while. And I tell you what, I feel like it, I'm getting it tonight.
Raise your hands and praise Him. Come right on up here, my brother. Come right on up here. Amen. Isn't He wonderful? All right, brother, what happened to you?
My back's healed. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord.
Raise your hands and praise the Lord. Isn't He wonderful? Isn't He wonderful? He sent His Word and healed him. It's His Word, not Franklin Walden. It's His Word. I just bring His Word. It's His Word. Give Him the Word, the glory. Who is the Word? Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He sent His Word and healed him. So you can't give man the glory. Give Jesus the Word the glory. Amen. All right, my brother. What happened to you?
I had a seizure. And
like an epileptic seizure?
Yes, sir. And I was praying that the Lord would heal me from it, and He did.
And He just took it away. Isn't He wonderful? Isn't He wonderful? I bind it never to come back again in Jesus' name. Through faith in His name, amen. Raise your hands and praise Him. All right, sister.
A few weeks ago, I got the victory over my jealousy, and I've been having a lot of problems since me and my husband got back together. And as soon as we come back home, I've been, I don't know, I'm about ready to throw up my hands and give it all up. So I thank the Lord for helping me tonight.
Raise your hands and praise God. Go put a little love, project God's love. Raise your hands and praise Him and thank Him for it. Isn't He wonderful? Hallelujah. All right, my brother.
I had an incurable disease in my knee, and it ate away my bone every time I bent it back like it. And I believe the Lord's healed me.
Does it hurt now?
Yes.
Raise your hand. Incurable disease just been healed by the power of God. Isn't He wonderful? Glory to God. All right, my sister.
I've been sick for several days now, and I was on the back bench, and I started to come up. I thought, well, I don't think I've really got my healing, but I did. I tested it, and I was healed, and I thank Him for it.
Raise your hands and praise God. Raise your hands and praise God, everybody. Sister, do you know that I thank God I'm free? How'd that go? I'm free. I forget now how it goes, but
thank God I
that's
am
it.
Free from this world.
you don't know the Lord tonight as your Savior while they sing that? You've never been filled with the Holy Ghost? You need a touch in your soul tonight? Why don't you move out of your seat and come down here? Move out of your seat and come down here if you don't. Maybe everybody here is Christians. I don't know. Here comes one. Just come right here, sister. How many more? Glory to God. Well, hallelujah.
Oh, thank God.
I am free. Free.
From this world of sin.
Something's happening. Something's happening. You're going to be a different person tonight.
Been born again.
Thank God I am free from this world of sin. I want you to say, Lord, I'm not going to beg you.
In the blood
I'm going to receive it.
Been born again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Saved. Wonderful.
Let's pray with
grace.
Me. In the name
I'm
of Jesus Christ. Receive ye the Holy Ghost right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh,
let the power
God
of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead now. Praise Him and start thanking Him for it. Start thanking Him. It'll come. It'll come. It'll come. Glory to God. Everybody worship God. Everybody.
Oh, my wonderful grace.
Glory to God.
I'm glad that I found out He would free me out and show me the way.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank God I am.
Maybe somebody
free.
Else wants to come as we sing this again. Maybe you need God tonight. You need to call on Him. Praise God. Would you come on up here?
In
the blood of Jesus. Been born again.
Hallelujah.
God bless you tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So glad that I found out. Yes, hallelujah. Everybody come to the front. Let's praise God for what He's done.
Oh, thank God.
Amen. Come and get what you need from God while you praise God. Come thanking God for what He's already done. Come praising Him for what He's going to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for this love. Thank you, Jesus, for what we feel. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for what we learn. Thank you, Lord, for what we know. Hallelujah.